Buzzjack Studio 1.5.
Lots of cool features.
Audimo, day 22. Day 22. I'm looking at the front of MacRumors.com. And it looks like they posted at 5 p.m. It looks like iTunes has announced that they have reached 1 billion podcast subscriptions. There has been 1 billion times that somebody has clicked that subscribe button for people's podcasts. Gotta fix that loop. It totally skips a beat there. So I remember, I was there the day that they announced they were adding podcasts to iTunes. I was paying a lot of attention that day. Because we were all working at Libsyn and struggling to keep that system from going under, being pulled under by the tidal wave of traffic that Apple sent our way. And I think it quadrupled our traffic. I think just the fact that Apple had officially incorporated a pod catching client in the iTunes, that at least quadrupled our traffic in one day. And at the time, there were a lot of discussions as to whether the indie podcaster was going to get overtaken by the professional podcasters, because it launched with, you know, some major guys in the game like NPR and some other news outlets. I forget if maybe Apple was working with people to get them to release content as well, but there was a lot of discussion as to whether that was going to threaten the indie podcaster. And here we are. What is it like? When it happened, introduced in 2005, so that's 8 years ago. And I think it's looking back, it's a pretty safe balance between indies and pros. It feels like a pretty healthy competition. That it wasn't a race to the bottom, it wasn't the lowest common denominator. There's a lot of great indie content that got very successful. And it didn't just become a sea of homogeny or mainstream nonsense or lose its indie roots. So how do you feel? I know a lot of people think this is interesting. A lot of people that do stuff on Audio Boo, they don't necessarily consider themselves to be podcasters, with a quote around it. And I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters, you know, what you consider yourself. I don't think that's important. I think the content is what's important. But that's the easy thing to say, right? But it's interesting from this perspective, from this vantage point, because it does seem like some people have stigma about the way that they publish, whether it's on a platform like Audio Boo, or it's strictly an iTunes podcast subscription thing. If it's streaming, if it's not streaming, that sort of thing. The only thing I do think that is an important element is to make sure that you maintain control and connect with your audience. That when you have everyone connected to you via a service like Twitter, or even Audio Boo, if you, for whatever reason, the service could go away, the service just, you know, breaks down, you want to make sure you still have that connection, you directly with your listeners, right? Now, this is sort of a, this is an alt, a parallel, but I was working on a mayoral campaign. Working, you know, running one of the official Twitter accounts, or at least condoned Twitter accounts for this campaign. And so I was trying to amass connects on Twitter as quickly as possible, and I was following a lot of people that were followed on other accounts, because I was trying to make as quick, you know, this was sort of an alternate news channel, and I was trying to amass connections on Twitter. And guess what I did? I triggered little bot that says, oh, it looks like you're doing suspicious activity that a crawler would do. And so my account was shut down, and it was shut down the day of the election. And, you know, I tried to think, all right, is there anyone I know in the industry that I could email? But I didn't know anybody. I couldn't find anybody. And to this day, that Twitter account remains locked down and deactivated from use. Just because I tripped that automated cord that said maybe I was a spammer. But it just sort of reminded me of how dangerous it is when you're so reliant upon a specific service. So as long as you're in multiple places, you get them on Twitter, you have them following you on Audio Boo, really you should run your own RSS feed. Maybe that's what qualifies and calls you, that's when you become a podcaster, possibly, because of that RSS feed, which is important, but you should be in control of that RSS feed. You know, Feedburner, owned by Google. For a while, that was the way that people protected themselves in podcasting. They feedburned their feed. But we don't know if Google's going to shut down Feedburner sometime soon. They shut down Google Reader. You know? Services get bought. Things change. And it's usually not the, the worst possible thing. The worst possible scenario usually doesn't happen. But, you know, Murphy's Law. So anyway, here's something fun. Right now I'm talking to you on the iPhone. This is the iPhone's built-in microphone. So let's revisit our talk about iOS processing. This is the iPhone's built-in microphone with iOS processing turned off. And it's being sent through the Boss Jock processing. So the compressor is on the microphone a little bit. And then it mixes with these carts and it goes through a limiter. But I'm still awestruck by the difference that the unprocessed signal makes. I think the quality is significantly, I mean, we're leagues ahead of where it is with the iOS processing on. And that was good. The iOS processing sound was a good sound. It wasn't terrible. And I think they made a lot of concessions with it because they used the algorithms and the EQ and whatever their special sauce to make for the lowest common denominator sound, meaning it's listenable in all of the worst possible circumstances, the widest, the 95 percentile of the circumstances. So if somebody's screaming into the microphone, it was still going to work. If it's a loud place, it was still going to work. If they were, you know. So it's understandable why they did that, but for us producers that give a little ear, give a little thought to the process and make sure we're doing things to optimum. Oh man, I just got a phone call. Sorry. I should have been in airplane mode. Do our best to optimize for these recordings. We're conscious of good quality. So, Derek Lane, sorry, buddy. I don't know why I put a Y on there. Derek Lane. And Patrick Perdue, those guys that had been saying how great it was, and they were so right. iOS processing off is amazing. And I think it's even better on the iPhone. And here's something I think maybe we discovered, which is the iPad seems to have a fixed microphone gain. That means that there's only one gain setting for its little microphone. And it seems to be set to about the same place that the iPhone's is. However, the iPhone's mic gain can be altered. So if you turn off iOS processing, it removes the high pass filter, it removes the compressor limiter, and then you gain access to the actual microphone gain. So this is the sound of the microphone, and it has, I've moved the gain I've increased the gain of the microphone from where it's usually set, which is, I don't know, something like 30%. This is probably about 70% gain on the iPhone, in this case, the iPhone 4S. But let's listen to a little bit of a side-by-side. First, we're going to listen to what the iOS processing mic would sound like. Here we go. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. That was iOS processing. One more time. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. All right, next up, this is this setting right now. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait, I messed up. Here's iOS processing. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is... And this is without it. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. Again. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. And one more time with processing. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. So night and day difference. And between those two microphones, the adjustments were made to increase the gain. Just to hear where the gain is normally set, it seems to be set by the system at this lower level. And then they use the compressor and the limiter to greatly increase the volume. But here is where the mic would have been had I not increased the gain of the microphone. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. See, that's a lot lower than this one. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. Here it is again. This is sort of stock settings with iOS processing turned off. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. Same iOS being turned off processing wise, but the gain setting is different. So at least from the iPhone 4S perspective, it does have a variable preamp for the microphone gain. And the louder one that you heard is the settings that I have dialed in here that I'm speaking through. One last time, let's listen to the iOS processing. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. And the clean processing-free version. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a test. Check 1, 2, 3. Freaky Foof at ONJ Music on Twitter. Follow the man. Check out his fantastic library of tunes. It's day 22 of Audio Mo. Exciting stuff with the iTunes. Billion subscriptions. I think it's a big win for all audio producers, for all indie producers, for all media producers. See you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. BossJockStudio.com, at BossJockApp on Twitter, audioboo.com/BossJockApp. Bye. See you.